With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So unfortunately for me, yesterday, Pete Thamel, right after Mark and I went off the air, I saw what I thought at the time might have been my favorite tweet in 9 months. It was from Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, and it read, Yahoo Sports reports that the Big 12 sent a, quote, cease and desist letter to ESPN, essentially demanding the television network stop plotting to sabotage and cannibalize the league. Pete Thamel's story then read, Commissioner Bob Boulsby accused ESPN of attempting to, quote, harm the league for ESPN's financial benefit. He continues that this wasn't even the most memorable part. From there, Boulsby did a series of media interviews where he accused ESPN of plotting with another league, later revealed to be the American Athletic Conference, in an attempt to, quote, kill off the Big 12. Essentially, Boulsby said that he found evidence that ESPN has been, quote, providing incentives to a league to lure the Big 12 leftovers away after Oklahoma and Texas bolted without warning. Here's what our sweet prince Bob Boulsby had to say. What really pushed me over the top was a couple of days ago when it became known to me that ESPN had been working with one or more other conferences and even providing incentives for them to destabilize the Big 12. Some would say, Bob, you did that yourself. And approach our members about moving away and providing inducements for conferences to do that, Boulsby said in a phone interview. That's tortuous interference with our business. It's not right. He's officially gone full Cartman there, too. It's not right. It's not right.
Wild.
Dennis Dodd also had a story because if you didn't notice yesterday, Bob Boulsby's
on
cell phone.
Fire.
Well, his cell phone was making a lot of calls.
Yeah.
He was going through the Rolodex. This from Dennis Dodd. The Big 12 is concerned that the American Athletic Conference is actively attempting to assume all 8 remaining members once Texas and Oklahoma are formally accepted into the SEC, league sources tell CBS. That source is Bob Boulsby. This comes as Big 12 commissioner Bob Boulsby told CBS that ESPN is leading an attempt to restructure the sport. Again, our prince says, I'm absolutely certain ESPN was involved with it and with the American trying to poach our members. AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko did not respond to multiple requests for comment. ESPN provided the following statement Wednesday night in reference to Boulsby's accusations. Quote, the claims in the letter have no merit. End quote. So, Brad, there's a few things that I'd like to point out before we get into some of the things that John Skipper had to say yesterday that I think can be applied to help tell the story, if you will.
Right.
First and foremost, can we just take a step back and admire the hilarity and the irony of the moment that we have reached a point in the year only 2021 of our Lord that the Big 12 commissioner is pointing the finger at the American and going, how dare you?
Right.
How dare you collude? You right. Bad, evil man. I thought I put you in the corner. How dare you do anything?
Stay down where you are.
Stay down and don't you dare ever do that again.
Right.
I find this to be truly hilarious because really what it, if you look at everything that has happened, I've made the allusion or the metaphor that when this all started, the Big 12 was operating like they were in the scene, the disaster movie where, I need ideas, guy. I need ideas. Everybody, ideas, 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 ideas. And I was just waiting for the moment where someone in the room, inevitably, it's like the sheepish guy.
Right.
It's over, guys.
Yeah.
It's over. And I think yesterday was the moment that you realize that it's over for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're now getting the reports that the American has said, hey, guys, we got a nice boat over here.
Mm-hmm.
And our boat has a contract with ESPN. You want in?
It's great.
You want in?
As Brett McMurphy points out, if that Big 12 implodes, ESPN not on the hook for the 4 years remaining on the deal at $1 billion with a B, large $1 billion.
Oh, for sure.
With a B.
Let's keep it real here. ESPN has incentive for the Big 12 to implode.
Absolutely.
Because two reasons. Number one, first and foremost, their agreement with the Big 12 ends in 2020 at the spring of 25.
Right.
So at the end of the academic 24-25 year. They now also reportedly, and in their agreement with ESPN, they're going to at least at the beginning foot the bill for the Oklahoma-Texas move to the SEC. So, obviously, if the Big 12 falls apart, that's less money that they're going to have to spend, and they get to keep cashing in. Now, for the record, ESPN will be completely fine stroking a check if that's what it comes to, but like every company I've ever seen in the world,
that ain't happening.
If you could get out of paying a lot of money, you would prefer to do that.
Negotiate it, probably.
What I have found the most fascinating aspect of all of this is this part in Dennis Dodd's story. AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko did not respond to multiple requests for comment.
This is a great point.
And I have found this interesting from the beginning because Mike Oresko, for much of his career, particularly since he has been, since the American started, he's been having to fight from underneath.
The most accessible league commissioner in history.
When you fight from underneath, I think you gotta raise some hell.
Yes.
And you gotta, every time a microphone's in front,
Need attention.
Right. And you need to get your case out there.
Right.
You gotta raise some hell.
We're good, we're good, we're good, we're good.
Right.
Right. Good for, and he does a good job at it too.
And for the record, I have found him every time that we've had him on. I have found him actually insightful. I know lots of Tiger fans are upset still about the Temple play and the Houston
situation. Right.
And understandably so, I would point out, I'm pretty certain at some point every fan base, like Alabama at times has been upset with Slive, with Sankey, how dare they?
And Houston has a role in that too, beyond the conference.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's no question.
So yeah, but generally, Oresko, good.
Well, and in the end, Oresko's job is not to look out for the best
of
Memphis.
Yeah, it's this organization.
It's the entire organization as a whole.
Yep.
But the reason why I bring all that up is I've not really seen him ever turn down an opportunity to talk.
Right.
Whether it be to reporters that'll appear in a print story, whether it be on radio, whether it be on television, you name it. Typically, when a request is filed, even if he's busy at that day, he works on giving another opportunity to speak.
Right.
I have found that to be the case with Mike Oresko. I have also found it to be the case ever since last Wednesday when Texas and Oklahoma shook up the whole college football landscape. I have found him to be unusually quiet. And I took note of that. And I took note of that for a key reason. I had a pretty good idea of where things were headed. And I also thought to myself, remember when they signed that deal with ESPN? And at first, everybody was upset because it was a lot of ESPN Plus content. I sat there and said, damn it, he's a genius. And here's why. In the end, I don't know what ESPN looks like in 20 years. There's a lot of people that think ESPN in 20 years might be that ESPN app on your phone, on your device, and you immediately stream it to your television, but that's where not only ESPN's programming is. More importantly, that's where ESPN Plus is.
It's screen share. It's there. Boom. And you just go there.
And unlike a lot of other streaming services, ESPN Plus, I think, has done a very good job of beefing up the inventory and beefing up the library. And it occurred to me, Oresco knew I can't go the route that the SEC is going to take or the route that the Big Ten might take. I have to be more creative. And so he gambled. He gambled on the subscription aspect of it. And there was a lot of unhappy people I know during football season last year. With that said, I think that gamble has paid off. Because now ESPN has not only a partner, but they got a partner that they own everything of.
Huh.
The entire rights.
Right.
Because in the end, if Texas was going to move, they were only going to move to either the SEC or the ACC. Why? Because ESPN had the rights exclusively to both leagues, and the Longhorn Network is this giant albatross. And the only way that you could essentially just say, let's erase that from the ledger.
Fold it in with what you already own.
Exactly.
Right.
And now, as ESPN is starting to gain more and more power in college sports, they now have a nice little landing spot for the island of misfit toys.
Mm-hmm.
The people without a home. All of a sudden, hey, listen, if you want to go and try this on your own, that's fine.
Give it a go.
By the way, if you're going to try to have a negotiation, we're not going to be there. So good luck getting Fox to bid against itself, or good luck getting CBS, who is notoriously cheap, CBS, who had the single greatest deal in the history of live broadcasting, the deal with the SEC on CBS, $55 million per year, including the championship game.
Mm.
We're going to later find out ESPN paid $300 million for that same setup. So that's the difference in money. But now you're telling me that they're going to get involved? Good luck.
Yeah, and it ain't happening.
But, by the way, we got a spot over here for you. And
it's a good conference.
Not only that, it's got a good contract.
Yeah, and we have a deal with them.
And we're completely comfortable. Maybe at a certain point, if the conference looks a little different,
yeah,
we're certainly willing to maybe reconsider and even make that deal a little sweeter.
Wow.
So obviously ESPN's a major player in this. And yesterday I was listening to an interview with John Skipper, the former head executive at ESPN on the Lebatard and Friends show. Of course, Skipper has, as I mentioned at the top of the show, he is responsible for the SEC Network, Longhorn Network, the ACC Network, a lot of the last, up until two or three years ago.
Yeah.
He had been.
He was the negotiator and the lead guy, the programming guru and the top man at ESPN.
And let's just get, in the end, let's get him to kind of set the scene from his eyes, because I thought this was a good tone setter of how we got to where we are.
It's long ago gone away that anybody cares about geography or even really cares about rivalries, right? I mean, when Texas A&M fled to the SEC, they left behind their greatest rivalry because they wanted to get at the SEC money. This is just about trying to stay at the top of college football. College football drives enormous amount of contributions from alums. It drives prestige. It drives admission. It's really what drives the media rights deals is college football. And right now, Texas, which has one of the great brands, even though, as Jessica pointed out yesterday, it's been quite a while since they won anything, it's still arguably the biggest brand in football. There was a moment in time back in late 2010-11 where Texas was at the center of all college football, right? They were responsible for holding the Big 12 together, or they could have gone to the Big 10, which was trying to get them, or they could have gone to the Pac-12, where there was a plan to create a Pac-16 and a super conference. And the Longhorn Network is what kept them in the Big 12 and kept the Big 12 together.
So there we have our first note of a super conference and the landscape there.
The two things that stuck out to me were, A, Texas's deal kept the one conference altogether, and then the fact that regionals don't matter. Those are the two things that stick out.
Rivalries don't matter, and we've seen that. And a lot of people bemoan that, and that, you know, sometimes it's tough to feel as connected as you once did because you're not playing the same people over
UCLA
and over.
UCLA is playing this, it's this wild cross-country thing, but they're two big brands.
So now let's get to
interesting
where the Big 12 finds itself today, because I thought this was interesting. Let's take a listen and then we'll react.
Doesn't matter. I mean, there's tradition, but tradition's already been thrown away, right?
Yes.
So the Big 12 tradition is Frank Broyles and Darryl Royal and Texas, Arkansas. That doesn't exist anymore, right? All exists now is, can I get to the top of the pyramid? The Big 10 is there. The SEC is there. The ACC and Pac-12 will try to keep up. The Big 12 feels like it'll be a scramble now for who can find a home where.
And I think that is the comment at the very end. It feels like a scramble for who can find a home where. Because Bob Bowlsby is acting exactly like someone that you would expect that is in charge of a room that is in utter chaos. He is watching people stab each other in the back. He is watching everyone look out for number one. And also included in this point, you can understand if you're a school and why you're looking out for number one. And I think the biggest reason you saw him act like a petulant child yesterday was this one reason. The Pac-12 commissioner, Kliakoff, made the comment about adding time zones. Well, Texas Tech would get you into the central time zone. And there are other schools maybe that would get you in to the central time zone.
TCU.
TCU, perhaps. Yeah. Baylor's a little more awkward, but Baylor gets you there.
Right.
And more importantly, he makes the point that they're all scrambling to find a home.
Right. And you have some independents sitting out there like BYU.
You have BYU. I think BYU keeps getting dangled out as a much more lucrative type entity than it is.
Yeah.
BYU already has a deal with ESPN, and it's not like, if you've noticed, ESPN's not steering BYU anywhere right now. And of course, let's take his collusion comments, Bowlsby's collusion comments.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then I'll ask you, I have a question for
you. I thought this was the perfect metaphor. First off, let me say this. If you're asking me to bet on Bob Bowlsby and his attorneys versus ESPN and their attorneys, does anyone out there want to take the Big 12?
No.
Anyone?
No, not after the comments we just heard.
Exactly. And well, and the fact that, like, just his entire operation.
And it was all based around the SEC or the Big 12 having Texas.
This man was working with Greg Sankey on a playoff deal thinking that this is great.
Right.
All the while, Sankey was like, thanks, buddy.
Right.
By the way, Texas and Oklahoma, tell them to send me a Christmas card.
All right, so I know there's a lot of information here to break down, and I want to ask a Memphis-centric question and an AAC question
just
so we can kind of fast forward just a tick. So project for me a little bit, both. You don't have to do timeline because it could be 2 years, it could be 1 year, but where do you see it going with the scrum between the Big 12 and ESPN, which I think we've answered that question, which is the Big 12 loses and ESPN is going to get their way and be the dog when it comes to these attorneys. So
that's
that
leads, where, I'd bet, yes.
where does the American land? And it's what I've learned from you is that we are perceived to have, because of our TV deal, a better setup. And do we get those adjacent members from the Big 12? Where's it go? Your opinion.
Let's take a listen to this first.
It's going to be super conferences, and it's going to be more and more concentration at the top. There is one interesting thing, just to create a little fun here, which is, in fact, the basketball tournament is an interesting thing, too. If you created four 16-team super conferences, the basketball conferences play in the NCAA tournament by choice. There is nothing that would prevent a breakaway basketball tournament.
Oh, wow.
I think there's also some people who think that this four super conference thing in college football could mean that the college football programs break away from the NCAA as well and kind of form a minor league college football program, I guess, with college affiliations.
I think that's right, Jessica, and that was why I was sort of suggesting that a one way to gin up a whole bunch more money is, gee, we're going to have a new basketball tournament, and 64 teams works naturally that all 64 teams could come into the tournament. One would play 64, so all of the Super Conference teams would make the tournament, and the current tournament with some independents and other conferences
would fall apart, would be irrelevant.
It would become the, what's the second tournament?
The NIT.
Become a piece of crap.
So let's take a look at what Bowlsby's claiming yesterday.
Dude, that's wild.
The American is making a play for all 8 remaining members. Kansas is included in that.
The Big 12, you mean?
I'm sorry. Yeah, The AAC is making a play on all 8 remaining members of the Big 12. Kansas is included in that.
Yep.
You really think ESPN's going to host their own NCAA tournament without Kansas?
No. So they're going to have a damn football tournament with 64 teams, and that's going to be partly the American.
Well, the whole point, the reason why I bring up Kansas is Kansas doesn't matter in football, obviously.
They matter in basketball.
They matter in basketball.
You have to have them.
And as John Skipper points out,
that's great.
This is laying the groundwork for ESPN, which does not have the rights to the NCAA tournament, to creating its own brand new event that would have every big brand.
And it's not an NCAA event.
It's not an NCAA event. Are you really telling me that Kansas isn't going to be involved
Fun
in that?
Stuff, man.
And therefore, if Kansas is part of the American, Memphis is part of the American.
I had to get the basketball part in my head suddenly.
Yes.
And now it makes sense. Yeah. But you get both, right?
You get both.
You get both. You get a 64-team basketball and you get a 64-team football with Kansas.
Correct. Now, I think 64 is a little more of a fluid number.
Right. But it's a number that has super conferences, and we see where we're going here.
The reason why I believe yesterday was so positive for Memphis and so encouraging for Memphis is, in the end, what we've seen thus far. Now, Kansas is going to try like hell to get in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Kansas is going to try like hell to perhaps get in the ACC.
Okay. I don't predict that happening, but I could see it happening.
Now, the question is, will that occur? They've tried to get into the Big Ten before.
Thoughts? What do you think?
They've tried to get into the Big Ten before, and they said thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, their footballs, it's just not, I mean, Memphis has a better football program.
Well, it's more so that from the Big Ten, like, they just kind of don't.
They don't care about it in terms of fandom.
Correct.
Like, Illinois is a very good Big Ten member, but they don't show up for the games, and they've, you know, it's Kansas-ish.
Right, but really what it boils down to is, they've been here before.
So you would see it in them in the Big Ten rather than the ACC, like a Kansas.
Well, I think the real situation is right now I see them in the American more than anything.
Iowa State, American.
As of right now, the Big Ten has been on record of not wanting to expand.
So to your earlier comments about regionals, those are the two parts of the conversation that you're kind of coming to terms with, which is Kansas, Iowa State, American. Schools like from the Big 12, Texas Tech, TCU, Pac-12.
I think it makes all the sense at that point. The question is going to be how much does this impact? Like, how much are those other conferences going to want to take what's left? They're not going to take multiple, probably. They may take one or two. I mean, I guess they're not going to take like a bunch of them.
Sure.
It's not going to be like, we're going to take half.
Well, I mean, this flips everything we've been, the talking points of negativity, and Jeff has been really down the last week. Jason has been down. This makes me feel a hell of a lot better.
Well,
because I was with him for a while there.
And it's kind of where I said the rules that used to apply do not apply.
Right. Because this is about TV deals and tournaments.
Well, and the biggest reason why the rules that used to apply do not apply is this very fact. It used to be, all the big boys had kind of an equal seat at the table for the most part, and they were kind of running things.
And like Skipper said, the regional thing doesn't matter as much.
Well, but the bigger aspect now is there's now someone that is telling the big boys what to do, and that someone is ESPN.
ESPN.
And to wrap things up.
And there's no, I don't see much recourse from the Big 12 in that lawsuit. That's just a bunch of crap. Like, welcome to America, you know?
Feels like a Hail Mary, maybe.
Yeah, that's brutal.
This is
ESPN. You're right. I mean, well done. I mean, good stuff here, Jeffrey.
This is what John Skipper said when asked if this is all ESPN's fault.
Is this all the instigation of ESPN? Is this all your fault?
I'd like to take the fifth. Do I have rights? I don't know whether my rights apply here on the on freedom.
Just say you got hacked, John.
Okay, say I got hacked.
Yes.
Okay,
dude. Like, this is America. It's quite an opus you just had there, Jeffrey.
I'd like to take a moment and raise a glass to Mike Oresko for recognizing the landscape and aligning himself with ESPN, because I think not only is his conference about to very much improve its seat at the table, I think by extension, the University of Memphis is too.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.